Well, be sure to register for that women's retreat. I want to welcome our missionary guest speakers today from Come Over and Help. Greg Slingerland and Pastor Sashko are here to address us about their work. Greg Slingerland is with Come Over and Help, and you'll hear more about his work as well as Pastor Sashko is a pastor in Poland. Let me welcome Greg Slingerland to the lectern to introduce his work to us.
Well, it's good to be here this morning with you all. I live up in the Niagara region in Ontario, Canada. So it took half an hour for the plane to be de-iced before I came here, just to give you a sense of how nice it is to be here. We also have a special guest with us this morning, Pastor Sashko and his wife Anya from Krakow, Poland. They're at Christ the Savior Presbyterian Church there, a new church plant. So he'll be telling us about how that church began and about the remarkable year that they've had since the war in Ukraine. But just to recap, maybe for some of you who are a little bit unaware about Come Over and Help, we are a Reformed parachurch organization, and our vision is to see thriving, biblically faithful churches serving in Eastern Europe, the former Soviet Union. That is our vision. So once these churches can stand on their own, then there's no longer a need for Come Over and Help. And our name, Come Over and Help, comes from Acts 16:9, where Paul is traveling towards Rome. He receives a vision from a man from Macedonia who says, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And so Paul stops his journey and he heads north into what is today the Balkan Peninsula. And this same call, "Come over and help," was heard by a group of Dutchmen in the 1970s in Holland. And they'd heard about the persecution, the repression that was happening in behind the Iron Curtain. And so they took their families, there was four men, they took their families on a vacation, a holiday, into what was then Czechoslovakia and into Hungary. And they put the Bibles in the floor and the walls of their little campers, and they drove across, and they distributed the Bibles. They were struck for the need to bring the Word of God into this area, and so they started fundraising, and Come Over and Help was born. And if you want to read, or maybe your teenagers would want to read more about this time period in history, two good resources that I could point you to would be God Smuggler. So that previous picture was of Brother Andrew, which Come Over and Help followed that example. He was also Dutch. He just actually passed away about 2 months ago. The other one is Tortured for Christ from Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was arrested in Romania for many years for his evangelizing. And eventually he started Voice of the Martyrs. Today, of course, the Soviet Union is no more. Although, of course, with Russia, they would very much like it to be back again, as we'll hear about later. But today, Come Over and Help is involved in quite a few countries, as far east as Siberia in Russia, all the way to eastern Germany. There's a church plant that we're just getting involved in there, and as far south as Armenia and Albania. And Come Over and Help today, in order to help foster thriving churches, three areas that we are involved with is training and equipping, church planting, and also ministries of mercy. And so we'll hear a little bit with the church in Krakow how that church, in a way, is involved in all three of these strands through literature, relief work now with all the refugees that have come into Krakow. And then also, of course, it's a church plant. Another ministry that I just want to briefly tell you about that kind of has some lines of intersection as well is this pastor here in this picture. This middle figure here is Pastor Mazepa from Kyiv, Ukraine. He has a small Reformed church in the city, but he's also a prison chaplain. And he serves in four different prisons in and around Kyiv. And so he regularly goes there, and he has a good relationship not only with the prisoners, but also with the prison administration. He has regular prison chapels. He has Bible studies that he carries out. He brings literature into the prisons as well. Here he is. This picture is taken shortly before the invasion happened in about a year ago, January. So here he brought in Bibles and tea for the prisoners. Many parts of the prisons in Ukraine, of course, are very rough places, as you can imagine. This prison that he was visiting, many parts of it are not heated, so using some of the winter help funds from Come Over and Help, bringing tea in for his visits and other sanitary products, and in this case, Bibles as well. Once the prisoners leave the prison system, they often will go back into the same patterns of crime, or a lot of them are involved with substance abuse problems. So there's rehabilitation centers that Come Over and Help supports as well. And in this one here, this one is in this little town of Mangush, which is close to Mariupol in Ukraine. And so these men here, they've come out of prison, and they live together. They learn new life skills, and they also do different Bible studies and so on. Here they're studying a book that Come Over and Help translated and published. This is the letters of John Newton. And so they've been studying this. Sadly, this home that they're in has been taken over by the Russians, has been closed down. So we're not exactly sure what state this center is anymore. The men have been sent home or to other places. Another area that Come Over and Help is involved with is pastors' conferences. Many of the churches that we work with are very small. They're often isolated. And so pastors' conferences are an important way for these pastors to get together, to be encouraged, to have a time of rest, to be edified. This one was from this past spring. Dr. Ian Hamilton was there. He's in the back row. One of the men you might recognize in this picture in the back corner is Reverend Peter Szabo, who I think has preached here before from Budapest. And I think Dr. Phillips is going to be headed to Budapest this spring for a conference with these brothers. Another area that we are involved with is also seminaries. So we support four different seminaries in Eastern Europe and Central Europe. A new one, actually, that is now in the works right now is in Minsk, Belarus. Belarus, as you know, is very closely tied in with Russia. They have an open border with Russia. It's a very despotic government, a lot of political oppression. And so these men were once studying at seminaries in Ukraine or in Latvia, but can no longer leave the country. And so it looks like they're going to be starting a Reform Seminary of Minsk. So this is the kind of the start, the core group of this seminary. Then moving on to Ukraine. The war in Ukraine has been, of course, the seismic event in the last year. It's been almost, I think, on the 24th. That will be a year since the invasion started. And so Come Over and Help has been involved with relief work in Ukraine and also refugee support in the neighboring countries. Of course, millions of Ukrainians have fled the country. Today, our focus for relief work is mostly in the eastern part of Ukraine, where most of the active fighting is happening right now. Although from time to time it flares up again in some of the major cities. So we're bringing relief supplies to these areas. It's very dangerous for our partners to bring goods in here. They're often wearing body armor, going through hot zones. Very dangerous. So they bring the supplies, and there's also a strong gospel component. So there's also preaching. So here this pastor came, he delivered the supplies, and he's holding a roadside service here. And he said, as he wrote to us, he said, as I was preaching, I could hear shelling happening in the background. And you can imagine as a pastor how distracting that would be. You know, you're preaching and you're hearing explosions happening behind you. But he said the people are so used to it, they weren't even flinching. And so sadly, that's the reality of people who in this part of Ukraine have been living with this actually since 2014. Another example in the city of Zaporozhye. So this city has been in the news quite a bit too. There's a big nuclear power station in Zaporozhye. The Russians have control of this nuclear power station, and there's been a lot of fighting in and around here. So the people that live in this city are living under constant air raid sirens, and they have to leave their apartments. And again, here these people have had to leave their apartments, and they're having a prayer service while they wait for the all clear to go back in. And then lastly, recently, of course, there was the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. And although that area falls kind of outside of our former Soviet Union geography, one of our partners, the Fuads, they run a ministry called Home for Kurds. And so they minister to Kurdish Christians all over the Muslim-speaking world, including Georgia and Armenia. So we help with the Georgia and Armenia part of this ministry. But recently they appealed for help for earthquake relief for the Kurdish Christians in Turkey and Syria. And so Come Over and Help is going to be helping and responding with them in this area. So if you'd like to help in this area, you can find more information on our website. I think last night I looked and it was something like a death toll of 46,000 people, and they're not really even sure with Syria how many deaths there are. They can't really even get into the country at this point yet. So what can you do? There are short and long-term trips that you can take. If you ever find yourself in Europe, it's easy enough to make a quick stop into Krakow and be with them for a Sunday, or to Budapest, or go further in. It's a wonderful blessing for these churches to have visitors, to have the fellowship from other Christians. So think about that. Other churches have said to us, we would love to have seasoned Christians come and stay with us for weeks or months. Many of the churches are small. Many of them have new Christians. They haven't experienced that covenant blessing that our churches here in the West have experienced. And so they don't have the experienced elders or deacons or pastors. And so they'd love to have that as part of their Bible studies and church life. So please pray for these churches. You can find much more information on our website of many other partners and projects that we work with. I want to thank you for your steadfast support and prayers. It means a lot to us and our partners in Europe. I'm going to turn it over now to Pastor Saszko from Krakow, Poland. We've been involved with this church now, I think, for four years, I think, around there. And he's going to tell us about the great need of the gospel in Poland.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here, a privilege. My name is Saszko Nezamudinov. Just a few words about me maybe before I go into a presentation about our ministry and our work in Poland. I'm 34 years old. I was born in Lviv, Ukraine. It was Soviet Union at the time. And it's former Polish territory, so Polish is still quite common. I've always spoken Polish. The culture is very similar. And then I moved to Poland 13 years ago, and I've lived in Krakow since 2013. And I've been involved in the work of this church plant for the last 7 years, Christ the Savior Presbyterian. I'm married. This is Anya in the front row here. We've been married for 4.5 years now. We don't have any children yet. We did adopt a cat a few months ago to kind of practice on, but I hear it's not the same. But yeah, so we're in Krakow. Krakow is unfortunately not on this map, but it's south of Warsaw. It's in the south of Poland. Poland is a country that's centrally located. It's right in the heart of Europe. And it's a country of 38 million people. And how many Presbyterian churches do you think we have for these 38 million? Any guesses? Four. There are two in the capital in Warsaw, one in the south in Krakow, and one in Gdańsk in northern Poland. One of the things that convinced me to get engaged into mission work in Poland is actually this map. It's the map of Poland split into all these little counties, and only the counties that are marked red or pink are the ones that have some kind of Protestant evangelical presence. So you can see how white this map is and how big the need is for church planting, for more churches. Sometimes you have to drive for 100 miles before you can find another evangelical church. And even then, you can't be sure that the teaching is sound, that it's actually a gospel-preaching church. So the need is vast. And actually, if you go to Operation World, a website, and it used to be a book in the past, that gives you all this information about different countries, all these statistics. And if you compare two countries, Saudi Arabia and Poland, you will discover that the percentage of the evangelical population is the same. And actually, Poland used to be worse. I just checked this a couple of weeks ago. Poland used to be 0.25, and that now it's grown. The situation in Ukraine is a little bit better. Churches are bigger. There's more churches. There's more evangelical Christians. So now, over the last year, as all these Ukrainians fled the country and moved to Poland, it actually increased the numbers. And rumors are that the numbers of evangelicals in Poland may have doubled just because of the Ukrainian influx over the last year. But there's no official statistics yet. Krakow is number one tourist destination in Poland. This is where everybody really comes just to see the city, to see some history. And the city loves history. It's one of the big things for the people of Krakow. It's a former capital of the country. There's all the kings of Poland are buried there in the castle, in the city center. It's a city of 1 million people, and maybe just with a dozen evangelical churches with an average size of 30, 40 people. When we first started planting, we were just a core group of 12 people, just a dozen people. And then interesting things have been happening to our church over the period of pandemic. So over those 2 years of COVID, our church doubled in size. And we went from, just before the pandemic, we were probably 20, 25 people on Sunday morning. After the pandemic, just before the war started, the church doubled in size and we were 40, around 40 on Sundays. And then the war starts and the church doubles again in size. At a certain point, I was even joking, I'll take these crises, I'll give me another one. I'll keep coming because if this is what the Lord will be doing, I'm just happy to be part of it. And the COVID situation especially just was a great reminder of the sovereignty of God and of how God, it's actually God who saves his people, who brings his people. And it's nothing that we do. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't do any big outreach events during COVID. It was wasn't possible. And yet just God kept bringing people. This is a very unique time in Polish history. It's 90% of the country would say that they are Catholic. But this is probably the first time that this society is getting quite polarized. The attendance in the of the Catholic Mass on Sunday is dropping. It's probably the lowest in history, though it's still officially the biggest and the highest in Europe. A lot of people are leaving the Catholic Church because of the leftist media have highlighted all these church scandals and money schemes and all of that. So people are just disillusioned with the church, and there's this big exodus from the Catholic Church, and a lot of people look for alternatives. Some people just write off spirituality and the existence of God completely because, well, this priest abused the child, therefore God doesn't exist. That's more or less how they jump to that conclusion. Others just think, okay, the Catholic Church is corrupt. Maybe there are other options. And an average Polish person doesn't know about options because an average Polish person has never been to a non-Catholic church or worship service. An average Polish person doesn't have a Protestant friend, so they don't even know that there are other opportunities. And then churches don't own buildings. They're not visible in Protestant churches. They're not visible in the city, in the community. But I would say it's the best time probably to evangelize in Poland and to invest into gospel work. And like Greg mentioned, the last year for us has been absolutely unique and very different. On the 24th of February, almost a year ago, Anya woke me up with probably the most horrific words you can hear or wake up to. She said, wake up, the war has started. Nobody believed it would happen until the last minute. People in Ukraine were going to concerts and just restaurants the night before. And it's not the first time Russia is doing something like this. Everybody in Ukraine, especially now, is very much aware of the artificial famine of 1932-33 that Russia, and Stalin in particular, generated in Ukraine. And this is the picture of my great-grandmother and me. She was able to survive that famine only because she was sent by her father to a bigger city where she worked for at a factory, probably wasn't receiving any money, but she was receiving a little bit of food. And we thought this was over. We thought that we've passed that chapter of history, and yet this is what we're still dealing with. And the last year and the last involvement of our church reminds me of this miracle of Jesus feeding the multitudes. And there's one thing there in Gospel of Mark that I particularly like. It's chapter 8 and verse 6. When Jesus asks the apostles how many loaves of bread they have, and they say 7, then Jesus directs the crowds to sit down on the ground. He takes the loaves, he gives thanks, he multiplies the food. And then what he does is he gives this to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, says Mark. I feel like this is exactly what we as a small Presbyterian church have been doing in Krakow. We had nothing. We were a church of 40 people that were renting a little tiny storefront where we worshipped, and that was the center of our operations, that was our ministry center, that was the headquarters of our publishing house. And suddenly we had to take care of all these busloads of people that were coming from Ukraine. The Polish response has been absolutely incredible. People were lining up to help. There were times when Polish people were driving to the Polish-Ukrainian border just to give rice to these women and children that were fleeing from Ukraine and help them. There were times when there were more people willing to give rice than actually people that needed them. People have taken these women and children under complete strangers under the roof, and they just really helped. They shared everything that they had, and we haven't seen anything like this in Europe, certainly in a long time. So we as a church we had nothing, we had no resources, but the global church responded so well, including the help of Come Over and Help. Then through those resources that were given to us, as a small Presbyterian church, we were able to distribute them, set them before the people, just like the apostles did with these loaves of bread. So we started renting shelters. Beds and mattresses were impossible to buy last year because everybody suddenly started buying them for these refugees. The real estate situation in the city was a complete disaster. Krakow is the first big city after you've crossed the border, so it's almost like a gate to safety. So we were organizing meals, we were feeding these people, we were helping them with different legal paperwork, and we just ran a place where they were able to come and maybe just stay and wait until their room is ready, or until their bed is ready, or until a couple of hours until their flight is on. Greg, I think it froze. Oh, is it moving? Okay, yeah. So we were children. It's women and children. Men are not allowed to leave Ukraine unless they have three children or more. So it's primarily women and children. And we knew one thing immediately back then in March and April. We knew that all these Ukrainian kids, they are going to be either online at their Ukrainian schools or they would join local Polish schools right away. And that's exactly what happened. And we knew that come summer, these kids will be just stuck in the city in a new place where they maybe don't speak the language or don't understand it fully. Polish and Ukrainian are quite similar, but still, for children, this is a new setting. They don't have friends. Everything's new. These women and children were not very likely to in the summer to go on a beach holiday in Italy or Spain, so we knew the kids will be just in the streets. So as part of our response, our church wanted to run a longer, pretty much summer-long VBS, and we did it for 10 weeks. We had 100 kids, and we did it in two shifts. There was morning shift for younger kids, afternoon shift for slightly older kids. One of our church members became our full-time children's worker and coordinator. She doesn't want to even hear this abbreviation anymore, VBS. She said, never again. And she's terrified of the fact that we are planning just one week long VBS this coming summer. But she just soldiered through this. We had people from different churches in the States, in Northern Ireland, come and help us with just volunteer. There were weeks when it was just us, just our church, and we had no help. And the response has been absolutely great. We've seen some of these people come to church. We've seen some of these people. We are developing and continuing those relationships with, especially with the teens, because I think we all click there very well. Another thing that we've been doing, and that's connection with parents at BBS. It's women's ministry, and we've been doing Bible studies for these women. And one more bigger thing that we've also, as a church, have been involved in is our publishing ministry. Now, as the war started, we've also started producing some literature in Ukrainian. But for us as a church, I'm going to jump to another chapter, another type of ministry now before I run out of time. The Reformed faith in Poland was picking up really well in the 16th century. As soon as it started in Germany and in Switzerland, Polish noblemen and university people, educated people, were corresponding with Calvin. They were corresponding with all the big thinkers of Western Europe. And just our little region of southern Poland had 200 Reformed churches. And then the Jesuits came and the Counter-Reformation came, and it undid it all. But from that 16th century, there are all these traces, beautiful traces of Reformed history. For example, Krakow, on the left-hand side, you see the printer's seal. There was a Reformed publisher. The guy was called Maciej Grzbieta. His initials are M and W, and that's what you see under this little tree. His last name derives from the word willow tree, so hence that little tree in the center. And he was translating literature into Polish. He was writing his own Christian literature, and he was publishing local Protestant authors, and he was printing their books. It all, of course, died out back in 16th century. But when we started our church plant, one of our most, one of our biggest frustrations was we didn't have anything to give to these people. People were asking us, you're Presbyterian, what does that mean? What is this? So we started just translating books by R.C. Sproul, by Kevin DeYoung, and it just started with little booklets, and it's grown. And these are some of the titles that we are working on. There are some of those are a little bit more maybe academic or just heavier reads. Next month we should receive the first volume, book one and book two of Calvin's Institutes, for example. John Knox's Prayers, The Valley of Vision has been now translated. The Westminster Standards should arrive next week. We've done quite a few or are working on quite a few of books by R.C. Sproul. We've produced some subtitles for movies like American Gospel. We're working on women's literature, on commentaries, and children's literature as well is a big focus because we understand that this is where we have to invest if we want to see a new generation of Christians. I've pasted these English book covers just so you're able to recognize maybe you've read some of these books. Anya's a designer, she's an architect and designer, so she works on our Polish, not all of these book covers will always work in Polish, so we design, sometimes we take the original one, sometimes we produce our own. So just a couple of pictures of what the Polish versions look like. A lot of these books have been we've been able to publish thanks to the help of Come Over and Help, and we're really, really grateful for this. This black book here is The Gospel is Center. It's the only book where you can find the writings of Dr. Phillips in Polish. He has only one chapter there, and it's the only thing by Dr. Phillips that's available in Polish. We'd love to see more of his works published. This summer we did a bigger outreach. We printed probably 50,000 copies of these three books, and we distributed them to Polish churches. And the books were in Ukrainian and Russian. And the goal was to equip the Ukrainian churches to have these in stock, so that whenever they are, almost every church in Poland has some refugees attending or that they are helping. So in that way, we've kind of equipped them with good sound literature that they could give them. And we've also done two children's titles in Ukrainian. Let me just leave you with a couple of prayer requests that, and they are bigger projects that I'm personally just really excited about. One of them is Sunday school curriculum, and it would be ideal if we were able to produce it in both Polish and Ukrainian, because you now have all these Ukrainian children attending these Polish-speaking churches. So it would be good if their Sunday school was able to do to study the same things, use the same materials, but in both languages, hard languages. Crossway are about to publish Sunday school curriculum based on the biggest story and then the Bible that Kevin DeYoung, children's Bible that Kevin DeYoung has recently produced. And based on that, there will be a new curriculum coming out from Crossway within weeks. So this is one of the biggest projects that we would like to work on, we would like to accomplish. Another big project is the first study Bible in Polish. There's not one, and we would love to translate Reformation study Bible into Polish, just to equip Christians in Poland to, and especially pastors also, to have this valuable resource where they can go and find out more about what does this little verse mean. Because churches are so small in Poland, congregations cannot support their pastors. Pastors have to have full-time jobs. They're usually married. They have children. So they have full-time job. They give the rest of their time to the family. And then the church that they pastor gets whatever's left of that time. So it's almost like, oftentimes, it's just like a hobby club that gets together on Sunday morning. And the pastor doesn't have any time to study. He doesn't have time to get any training or read these commentaries, and oftentimes if he doesn't speak English, he doesn't even have any resources in Polish. So we started translating a couple of pages just to see what it would look like, where do we have to pay attention, and these are some of the screenshots from our first fruit. Now our church is homeless. That's an probably the biggest prayer request at the minute. This is our health center that we've been renting for our displaced Ukrainians that we've been helping. And that's where we have to worship now, because it's impossible to find anything on Sunday morning, anything that would be big. People have very big expectations because Polish people are used to these beautiful churches, chapels, us worshiping in storefronts, we can't compete with that. But people don't exactly understand that the church is not the building. And yet, you do have to have a place. Imagine if these walls disappeared. What kind of things you would have to do to be able to do what the church is doing. We may have found something just a week before we came here. And we are, at the minute, we are praying, and these are some of the pictures of that place that we looked into. It's in the on the outskirts of the city center. It's just across the road from a big, that red brick building. It's across the road from this big university. So it's a great place where we could have an RUF type of ministry. Krakow is a university city with 200,000 university students studying there every year. It's a strategic location. It can sit up to 100 people, and we believe that it would be a good ministry center for the church. So these three things: Sunday school curriculum, first Bible study, or sorry, study Bible, and the venue. Do we have? Are we out of time, or do we? 3 minutes. Okay, I'm happy to take one question in those 3 minutes. Yeah, where do we get our translators for the work? So we have a team of probably a dozen translators, and I do a sneaky thing. I go to Catholic bookshops, and I open the copyright page. And I see the names, and I write down the names, and then I find them on Facebook or just Google their names, and then we hire them, and then some of them are not Protestants, because it's very difficult to find Protestant translators in Poland that have the time, that can do quality work, or actually would be capable for that. So we do hire them, and then we just on the proofreading level, if there's anywhere where they made a mistake, we verify the text with the original. We make sure that there's no theological mistakes. But that's where they come from. We outsource that to probably a dozen of people. Good question. Thank you. Yes. Yes, so Ligonier have helped us and sponsored this sampler, which just has it's the Ephesians are now done, and the first 10 Psalms. So Ligonier have sponsored that stage, and they're happy to license this to us, and it's probably a 5-year-long project, but they are absolutely behind this. Yeah, they're very supportive. All right. Thank you so much for having us. It's a real privilege to be here.